Welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are fortunate to have His Grace Ramagiridhari Das Prabhuji on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the topic name is Srimad Bhagavatam, class verse 4.16.5 onwards. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna, yes, I'm present.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pram. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much for giving your valuable time and your association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic, Prabhuji. I now hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Esha Vai Loka Pala Nam Viparyekastanau Tanuhu Kale Kale Yata Bhagam Loka Yorubayor Hitam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation: this king alone in his own body will be able in due course of time to maintain all living entities and keep them in a pleasant condition by manifesting himself as different demigods to perform various departmental activities. Thus, he will maintain the upper planetary system by inducing the populace to perform Vedic sacrifices. In due course of time, he will also maintain the earthly planet by discharging proper rainfall. Purport. The demigods in charge of the various departmental activities that maintain this world are but assistants to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When an incarnation of Godhead descends to this planet, demigods like the sun god, moon god, or the king of heaven Indra all join him. Consequently, the incarnation of Godhead is able to act for the departmental demigods to keep the planetary systems in order. The protection of the earthly planet is dependent on proper rainfall, and as stated in Bhagavad Gita or other scriptures, sacrifices are performed to please those demigods who are in charge of rainfall. Annad bhavanti bhutani parjanya tanna sambhava yajnad bhavati parjanyo yajna karma samudbhavaha. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. Thus, the proper execution of yajna sacrifice is required. As indicated herein, King Prithu alone would induce all the citizens to engage in such sacrificial activities so that there would not be scarcity or distress. In Kali Yuga, however, in the so-called secular state, the executive branch of government is in the charge of so-called kings and presidents, who are all fools and rascals, ignorant of the intricacies of nature's causes and ignorant of the principles of sacrifice. Such rascals simply make various plans which always fail, and the people subsequently suffer disturbances. To counteract this situation, the Shastras advise Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Iva Kevalam, Alo Nasyeva, Nasyeva, Nasyeva Gatiranyata. Thus, in order to counteract this unfortunate situation in government, the general populace is advised to chant the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before we start our discussion, let's offer our respectful obeisances to the Parampara. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Asmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar ಶ್ರೀವಾಸವಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಏಷ ವೈ ಲೋಕಪಾಲಾನಾಂ ವಿಭರ್ತ್ಯೇಕಸ್ತನೋ ತನೋ ಕಾಲೇ ಕಾಲೇ ಯದಾ ಭಾಗಂ ಲೋಕಯೋರುಭಯೋರ್ಹಿತಂ. This king alone in his own body will be able in due course of time to maintain all living entities and keep them in a pleasant condition by manifesting himself as different demigods to perform various departmental activities. Thus, he will maintain the upper planetary system by inducing the populace to perform Vedic sacrifices. In due course of time, he will also maintain this earthly planet by discharging proper rainfall. So, it's always a pleasure to be with you all to discuss on the topic on Srimad Bhagavatam. So here Prithu Maharaj has been glorified by the Gandharvas and other professional reciters. Prithu Maharaj's coronation ceremony has happened, and so many demigods, they have descended and they have offered their gifts. Different demigods have offered different types of gifts for enabling Prithu Maharaj to execute his services. It is very interesting to see here that how, when the king is right here, how everything falls in place. Rajar doshe rajya nashta, ginni doshe grihastha nashta. Srila Prabhupada says, if the king is at fault, the entire kingdom is in trouble. And if the woman at home is at fault, the entire family is in trouble. So here, we have seen how when Vena was ruling, how everybody was in distress. And now, when Prithu Maharaj took over the reins, how everybody is pleased. The pleasure that everybody has derived after King Prithu's coronation is being discussed for the past few verses. And everybody is appreciating, the professional reciters or even foretelling what is going to, you know, come up. This is a very interesting science that we will see how when a Brahmana, when a king, when dharma, when devotion, when they are all properly performed, the outcome is predictable. So Krishna consciousness is so predictable that anybody who practices as delineated by our acharyas, the net result cannot be anything different from what they have recommended. So in our own devotional life, it is so simple, at the same time so straightforward, that if we just simply abide by the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam and lead a life of righteousness, then everything pertaining to spiritual progress will be revealed to us. In our discussion today, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is talking about the importance of performing the sacrifice. In our discussion today, we are going to discuss about the science of sacrifice, what is stopping us in performing the sacrifice, and how do we recognize them, and what is considered as the best form of sacrifice, and how do we go about in doing, and finally, what are the things that we are not expected to sacrifice, and what are the things that we are expected to sacrifice. These are the five things that we are going to discuss in the next 45 minutes. And this will help us in reflecting on this entire topic of sacrifice in totality. It is extremely important that for every practicing devotee, he need to understand the importance of sacrifice in his or her devotional life. The sacrifice is so much important because the act of sacrifice is going to define the amount of love and recognition that we have for the supremacy of the Lord. As we have always mentioned and referred, that there are only two truths for us to understand. One is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everything else belongs to Krishna. So Krishna and Krishnas are the two truths. Anything which is not fitting in these two truths are classified as Maya. So, if everything belongs to Krishna, all that we possess that belong to Krishna and Krishna's, and we are just caretakers of Krishna's resources, what are we here asked to sacrifice? So, this next 45 minutes, our discussion on this sacrifice will throw some very good light on this topic at length. Number first is about sacrifice and their classification. So sacrifice as a word resonates in different people's lives differently. In the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has explained divine and demoniac nature. When explaining about that, he is explaining different qualities: austerity in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance; truthfulness in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance; and various things in the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. The reason Krishna is explaining about this from a perspective is, as practitioners, we may pat on our back saying that I am performing sacrifice, I am truthful, I am doing penance, I am having tolerance, I am performing austerity. So all these kinds of things may make us complacent, may make us feel that we are accomplishing, doing something substantial. So, these classifications are recognizing these qualities in which mode they are all fitting in will help us to fine-tune our behaviors. So, sacrifice that is spoken in this verse, as Prabhupada explained in the purport, happens to be a very vital principle for harmony and for taking care of the populace in general. All the great men, all the accomplished people, the way they could accomplish whatever they could was only because they performed necessary sacrifices and they were not selfish people. So, there are five levels of sacrifice that we are going to speak as our first reflection. So, these five levels of sacrifice we will discuss into three classifications: sacrifice in the mode of ignorance, sacrifice in the mode of passion, sacrifice in the mode of goodness, and sacrifice in the mode of super goodness. So, these four classifications of tamoguna, rajoguna, sattvaguna, shuddha sattvaguna, how in each of these states the sacrifice fits in. So, number one, sacrifice is the real solution for the jiva to awaken dormant spirituality. Narottam Das Thakura says, so long as we have selfishness in our heart, we can't see Krishna in our life. And that which stops us in performing sacrifice is selfishness. So we are going to discuss that also as a part of our discussion today. So the five classification of sacrifice are, number one, having that mentality of talking about sacrifice for name's sake, just as a matter of diplomatic and hypocritical behavior, we see men, as Prabhupada writes, even kings and rulers and so-called diplomats, they use this sacrifice as a word, as an act, very conveniently to emotionally bind people for their personal agenda. So sacrifice, if it is just done as lip service, sacrifice that which is done as a matter of, you know, not doing it, but just talking about it, such a sacrifice is in the mode of ignorance. So namesake giving away things, or namesake doing things, or namesake of talking about the word or the act of sacrifice is considered as sacrifice in the mode of ignorance. There are also some people who perform sacrifice in the name of sacrifice. They just give up things that they don't like, that they don't want. So that sacrifice is also classified as sacrifice in the mode of ignorance. So if you just speak about sacrifice, you just speak about giving things but don't give up, at the same time, we perform sacrifice and the act of sacrifice is just that of giving away things that we don't like or we don't want. They fall under the category of sacrifice in the mode of ignorance. The second one, sacrifice in the mode of passion, is about giving up things, relinquishing things, so that we are appreciated, so that we are benefited, so that we get something in return. So such a sacrifice is called sacrifice in the mode of passion. We always expect something in return for all that we try to do is not a very pure form of sacrifice. For example, it is explained that we all, or people, work very hard. They sacrifice their comfort to earn money. But the hard money which they have earned by compromising and sacrificing the comfort, an individual is ready to give that up, spend it up, and completely dive deep into sensual, sexual pleasure and lose that money. And there are guys who are ready to compromise, sacrifice money as well as sensual, sexual pleasure if they are offered position. It is not that when I am attached to position, I am not attached to money, not attached to sensual, sexual pleasure. The reason I am temporarily, seemingly sacrificing my comfort of earning money, I'm sacrificing money for getting sensual pleasure, is because when I get position, I know I can get money, pleasure, comfort, whatever I want. So this sacrifice for appreciation benefits an apparent austerity that we try to undertake is considered as sacrifice in the mode of passion. This is also condemned. And interestingly, many families, many people, they take to the process of sacrifice only because they get a result. And this is also rejected by our acharyas. The third stage of sacrifice is about sacrifice in the mode of goodness. What is considered as sacrifice in the mode of goodness? It is that we sacrifice things, we sacrifice something that we like most if it would please Krishna, and I do that as a matter of my duty. So this is an allowed and considered as sacrifice in the mode of goodness. To the barest minimum, students of Srimad Bhagavatam should at least be situated in this stage of sacrifice. There is one more stage above this that is called sacrifice in the mode of super goodness. What is sacrifice in the mode of super goodness? How is it different from all the other? The sacrifice in the mode of super goodness means we sacrifice things to please Guru and Krishna. We're sacrificing our lifestyle and priorities to be there for glorifying and loving Krishna, and our lives as a loving offering dedicated for Guru and Krishna. This is sacrifice in the mode of super goodness. So this classification of sacrifice is very important for us to understand, because the power of sacrifice is described here. Srila Prabhupada writes, the protection of earthly planet is dependent on proper rainfall, and as stated in Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures, sacrifices are performed to please those demigods who are in charge of rainfall. And he is giving this verse, Anna Bhavanti Bhutani Parjanya Anna Sambhava Yajna Bhavati Parjanyo yajna karma samudbhavaha. And Prabhupada explains that how all living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are coming because of yajna. Yajna is coming because of prescribed duties. So sacrifice is just not an option. Sacrifice is a mandatory duty that each and every one of us are expected to perform, even if you want to eat. Srila Prabhupada writes in Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 1. He says, this pure devotional service is so sublime that it brings in all auspiciousness. This pure devotional service, this process of Harinam Sankirtan is so sublime that it brings in all auspiciousness. And when explaining about all auspiciousness, Srila Prabhupada explains that if one person, if he is sincere and performing his devotional service nicely, he can bring in welfare for the humanity at large. This Harinam Sankirtan, this process of fire sacrifice, this process of yajna, this process of whatever the yuga yajna, yuga dharma, if somebody performs that, the resultant of this activity is very, very, very substantial. So that is why it is important for practitioners of Krishna consciousness to understand that as a fundamental duty, we are all expected to perform sacrifice. And the best sacrifice, as Srila Prabhupada has written in the purport, is about having Harinam Sankirtan as a part of our integral spirituality. Harirnama, Harirnama, Harirnama iva kevalam. Hello, Nasyeva, 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 Sabiranyata. So, as a first reflection, these are all the five levels of sacrifice, and at least we need to be situated at level 4. So, the way it is coming to 5 is mode of ignorance, is about telling that I am interested in doing sacrifice but not doing sacrifice, giving up things that I don't like or don't want. That's category number 1. Number 2 is mode of passion, where I do things, give up things, so that we are appreciated and benefited. Category number 3 is about sacrifice things as a matter of duty. And in super goodness, we have two aspects of it. One is, we sacrifice our things to please Guru and Krishna. And second is, we sacrifice our life in such a way that it is dedicated for Guru and Krishna. One is bhakti, second is shuddha bhakti. So that way, our sacrifice is helping us to make necessary progress in Krishna consciousness. What stops us in performing this sacrifice? It is explained that so long as a person is selfish, if you compare the activity of King Vena versus King Prithu Maharaj, King Vena was selfish. Here King Prithu Maharaj is appreciated as a selfless king. So what stops us? What is making us not to perform sacrifice? What is making us not to dedicate to Krishna? What is stopping us in not to give things that actually belong to Him? Because we have been discussing how everything belongs to Krishna, so what is stopping us in giving it to Him? In the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text number 6, Srila Prabhupada explains the difference between Mayavadi sannyasi and the Vaishnava sannyasi. He explains, Krishna is actually explaining to Arjuna about the real renunciation. When explaining about the real renunciation, Srila Prabhupada is explaining the difference between Mayavadi sannyasi and the Vaishnava sannyasi. Prabhupada says, Mayavadi sannyasi may actually give up relinquishing and stay away from things, thinking that they will bind them. But the Vaishnava sannyasi is the one understanding that everything belongs to Krishna, everything comes from Krishna, work in such a manner that all that belongs to Krishna is given back, offered to Krishna. So the real sacrifice is not about staying away from things. The real sacrifice is offering the things to the source, understanding that they all have come from Krishna and they have to be offered back to Krishna is a real sacrifice. And the reason why we are not able to operate on this platform is because of our inherent selfishness. Whether you agree or not agree, we have a quotient of selfishness within us. That selfishness does not let us to be a broad-minded person. So, this selfishness is something that we have been fighting out. Maybe after coming into Krishna consciousness, we are not as selfish as we used to be, but still, we are still in the platform of trying to use Krishna for our needs rather than love Krishna for pleasing Him. So, this quotient of selfishness, till it is completely uprooted from the heart, we will have a big challenge. How do we recognize the selfishness in ourselves? If at all we recognize selfishness, then we can fight. But most of us, or at least some of us, we start believing in that I'm okay practicing Krishna consciousness nicely and everything is going okay in my life, and not give attention to the minutest details about some of these characters. Selfishness, humility, tolerance, patience, some of the very important ingredients for our progress in Krishna consciousness, then we will be, you know, cheating ourselves. So hence, let us learn how to recognize that we are affected by this virus called selfish. If somebody agrees, yes, I am selfish, great. But sometimes we may be complacent, we may be overconfident. Better we do a test upon ourselves. Am I selfish? Am I not? So I suggest three simple tests to evaluate if I am selfish or not. This is our third reflection. So, number one, if our thoughts, actions, planning are always around what would benefit me over what can I do for Krishna, then I am affected by this disease. I repeat, if our thoughts, action, planning, if they are always centered around what benefit am I going to get over what can I do for Krishna, then I am a narrow-minded, selfish fellow. Number two, our views are biased and we don't lead a life of principle. Rather, we lead a life of luxury and convenience. Then also, we can understand we are affected by this virus. I repeat, if our views are biased, in a sense, if a same activity is done by my husband, my daughter, my son, my brother, my sister-in-law, my family member, they are supposed to be understood in one particular way. So the same activity is done by my somebody whom I don't like, they are perceived in a different way, which means we are biased people. If an act is done by us, we are supposed to be forgiven. The same activity done by somebody else, they are supposed to be punished. So this is called biased opinion. So if some of our views are biased and not based on principles, Chanakya Pandita was offered by Chandragupta that, my dear sir, please permanently reside in my court and be my full-time consultant. I will give you salary, house, facilities, pension, etc. Chanakya Pandita denied, saying that if I accept money from you, I will be biased. I will not be able to uphold dharma, so I will not work for salary under you. Rather, I would beg alms and maintain my life of dignity. So the point is that if our views are biased, if we are partial, if we are pakshpad wale, if we are ones who are taking sides, then we have this disease of selfishness within ourselves. And third, if our personality is that of blaming and fault finding rather than that of taking responsibilities and appreciating, then we are suffering with this selfishness quotient. So if I am a person where anything that did not happen, I immediately think how others are responsible. If I am not making progress in Krishna consciousness, how others are responsible. If I am not able to service nicely, how others are responsible. If I am not able to speak nicely, if I am not able to serve nicely, if I am not able to reach the place nicely, whatever that I am supposed to be doing, if I am not able to do that nicely, and I will blame others and find fault at them because of them, I became like that. So such a propensity means we are suffering with this virus called selfishness. On the contrary, those who are selfless, they take responsibility for their actions and they are always appreciating others. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, all the wonderful charitra or the life history of his great personalities, if you see one uniqueness you will see in them is about their appreciating others and taking responsibility of their actions. So these three are very easy and self-identifiable tests to recognize if we are suffering with this disease called selfishness or not. Now, what is actually Krishna's expectation or Krishna's recommendation about sacrifice, and in what spirit sacrifice needs to be done, and the effect of that is explained by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. He says, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Dhyatvamam Shanti Mrityati. He says, if at all sacrifice not done as an offering unto me, if at all sacrifice is not done to please me, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. Srila Prabhupada writes in the 4th canto, 2nd chapter, text number 34, purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, unless he performs sacrifice and severe austerities, and if those sacrifice and austerities are not directed towards pleasing the Supreme Lord, every action a person is performing will be considered as atheism, pashandi. So Prabhupada very clearly writes in that purport that if our sacrifice is not directed towards pleasing Krishna, if our sacrifice is not glorifying Krishna, if the sacrifice is not for Krishna, then everything, resultant action of our so-called sacrifice is considered as pashandi. So, the fourth reflection is about the real sacrifice means bereft of selfishness, and if we do activities for the pleasure of Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, which is Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the result of that activity will be Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. That is exactly what is happening, what is explained in this purport, where Prithu Maharaj, just by knowing how to perform the right sacrifice, how to enable people to perform the right sacrifice, how to motivate people to be properly situated, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam, he is able to pass on the real benefit. Suhridam means all auspiciousness. Suhridam means all goodness. So, just by performance of the right way of performing sacrifice, which is to glorify the Supreme Lord, Prithu Maharaj is able to give benefit to his own men, to demigods, to all the living entities in the planet. Just by one single person, by one single act of upholding Dharma, and performing sacrifice. So this sloka, according to our beloved His Holiness Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, who is known as Shripad Maharaj, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he used to always tell us that this sloka, Bhoktara Megyatapasam, is called formula for peace. This is a sloka for peace formula. What is peace formula? Because of somebody performing sacrifice properly, he is bringing in all auspiciousness as well as he is bringing in peace for the humanity at large. And here in this purport also Prabhupada is writing the same thing. And here he says that even if we consider for our own livelihood, for getting our own daily food, we are supposed to perform sacrifice. What to speak of pleasing Krishna, it is considered as devotion. So even if you talk about material existence or talk about spiritual existence, the net result is you have to learn to sacrifice. And what is that we are supposed to sacrifice? What is that we are not supposed to sacrifice? All the last part of the conversation. So in our spirituality, many a time we don't know that if we need to keep this and reject the other things, so what to keep, what to reject, we don't know because of our extended attachment towards sense gratificatory things. So hence the last discussion is about what do I sacrifice, what do I not sacrifice. Number one, I sacrifice my doggish mentality. Because I can't sacrifice anything else, because nothing belongs to me. But the dogish mentality belongs to me. The dogish mentality is thinking that this will give me happiness, that will give me happiness, this will give me happiness, that will give me happiness. This propensity of tossing between one after the other, after the other, after the other, will make me run like a dog looking after many, many things. So that propensity, that doggish mentality has to be given up. As materialists, we keep looking at different avenues for getting happiness. As materialistic people, we look at different opportunities for us to get comfort and luxury. And that propensity needs to be given up because dukkhalayam asashvatam. The second sacrifice that we need to learn to do is being self-centered life. I, me, mine. If any thought that has, any action that has got our quotient added, any thoughts and action that has got something to do with what do I benefit out of it, that thought and that action by itself need to be purified. Because so long as I'm looking for benefit and credit, I'm not pure. And with an impure frame of mind, we won't be able to please the Supreme Lord. What is that we are not supposed to sacrifice according to Srila Prabhupada? We need not sacrifice artificially, arbitrarily, the things that we possess. Whenever we have talked about this topic about renunciation, it is not about giving away of things. Rather, it is to be connecting and dovetailing things to the right source. So what we are not expected to sacrifice is the propensity of sacrifice. My father is joking to say that don't renounce the renunciation. There are some things that we need to uphold, keep it very close to our heart. So don't sacrifice the initiation vows. Don't sacrifice the commitments that we don't compromise. Don't sacrifice, don't give up things that we are meant for being a missionary. Because the mission and the missionary spirit is something that we should not give up. That is something that we should not compromise. It is something that we should not sacrifice. Because being a missionary is a very important activity. As we always say, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam is our missionary. Is our mission, sorry. And for working towards that will be our mission. I was giving a class yesterday and that we discussed. In India, we have this slogan by all the soldiers called Bharat Mata Ki Jai. So I'm not trying to support that slogan or against that slogan. The point is, why this slogan is again and again being, you know, resonated or being told among the soldiers is to remind them, to reiterate them, to insist that the purpose of the soldiers is to protect the country's security and safety. Similarly, when we soldiers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's army, when we repeatedly chant, when we repeatedly say, and repeatedly insist, and we are repeatedly reiterated that Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. In fact, I would encourage every one of us every day 10 times to say this. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. May Krishna Sankirtanam be victorious, glorious, spread all over the universe. If we repeatedly say this, at least we are remembering that that's my mission. Because we are missionaries, we are not supposed to sacrifice that propensity. So, in the course of our grihastashrama, in the course of our student life, in the course of various, you know, short-term challenges, we are forced to give these things up, and at the end, we are, you know, losing a very rarest opportunity. So hence, let us learn what not to sacrifice and what to sacrifice. I'll tell a very interesting story from His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj's life. I'm sure most of you were disciples would have read this, but in this context, it's very, you know, relevant and important. So what happens is that Maharaj was traveling from Europe, Germany, came to Far East, Middle East. Finally, he reached Pakistan border, Pakistan-India border, and Maharaj had hardly, you know, any rupees or any money left, and he was in his very austere dress, you know, matted hair and not so clean clothes. So he was looking like a beggar or immigrant, whatever you may call. So he was requesting the border authorities in Pakistan border, can you please let me in into the country, India? He was requesting Indian authorities, I want to go and meet and see, search for my spirituality. Please allow me to come inside the country. The border security guys, they rejected his plea, saying that we already have enough beggars, we already have enough immigrants. So in, our country cannot, you know, take up one more. So I'm sorry, we will not let you in. So for a couple of nights, I think 3-4 nights, Maharaj stayed there in that border for some, you know, waiting for some opportunity that somebody will be kind upon him. And one day, there's this one guy who was very kind-hearted. He told, and I will let you in the country. And Maharaj at that time made a promise that you are giving me, doing a favor to me by letting me go inside your country. I will promise you that in my tenure, I will do something good for your countrymen. Thank you so much. Saying this, he went inside the country and eventually met Srila Prabhupada, saw the whole story. When, I think 7-8 years before, we had this, you know, President of India by name, Mrs. Pratibha Patil. So she had called Radhanath Maharaj for a dinner at her palace or her Rashtrapati Bhavan, the president's house. She is the first citizen of the country, and she had invited Maharaj for a feast. President's house feast is considered as something the royal and topmost honor somebody can get. And the most interesting part was, on the day when she had invited Maharaj, they had a very grand welcoming of Maharaj from the main gate, where the president herself, along with various welcoming arrangements, they came to the main road from the main gate all the way till inside. She accompanied Maharaj and gave him a very nice honor. Maharaj was sharing his realization, the day I entered your country, the day I entered India, I was beggar, poor, having no bank balance, having nothing. And now, today, I have no bank balance. I am still a sannyasi mendicant. The difference between that time and this time was I did everything my spiritual master asked and I sacrificed my life for the mission of Srila Prabhupada. So the dedication and sacrifice and fulfill the orders of Srila Prabhupada has transformed from me being a beggar to me continuing to be a beggar, but then appreciated for the contribution that I have done for their countrymen. The promise that I kept to that guy, I fulfilled by winning more and more souls to the Lord of Srila Prabhupada. The point here is sacrificing, performing Yuga Dharma, performing the activities for the pleasure of the Lord, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, then Sukhritam Sarva Bhutanam, then you can bring in auspiciousness and good fortune for everybody. And, you know, Yadvamam Shanti Mrityati. Not only that, you can establish peace and prosperity. There is a very interesting article in Dandavat. I'm not sure if it is there, still on the main page. There's an article on Shishi Radha Gopi Jana Vallabha. Again, this is an article by journalist Radhanath Swami Maharaj. So it's, I think, part of the his book, I'm not sure, where the whole story Maharaj is narrating about the worship and his connection with the deities of Radha Gopi Jana Vallabha in Vrindavan Dham. And he's talking about his old friend Ghanashyam Baba. And that whole article is talking about what it means to be performing sacrifice for the pleasure of the Lord. So I would encourage all of you to please read that article so that you know, you'll understand that this is just not a theoretical statement. This has to be put in practice. And if put in practice, the result is definitely seen in front of our own eyes. This is pratyaksha vagamam dharmyam susukam kartum avyayam. So hence I strongly urge each and every one of us to, you know, sincerely consider this act of sacrifice to a very special category, because this is about giving up things. This is about connecting things back to the source. I conclude with a very important point that people may understand, people may question, why sacrifice, why not directly love? The simple message is that we have the propensity to enjoy whatever we possess, and so long as we have this enjoying propensity, we will not be able to have pure love to Krishna. So to have pure love to Krishna, let us learn to offer all that belongs to Him, all that we are possessing which belongs to Him, all that is in our care that belongs to Him is given to Him. And let us show our love to Him, and He is such a magnanimous person, He will reciprocate back His love. And anybody who is facilitating us to do this is to be worshipped. That is why spiritual masters worship. That is why Vaishnavas are worshipped, because they are helping us to understand this fundamental part that I am not supposed to be the enjoyer of what that I have. I am just a caretaker, so let me offer everything in Krishna's pleasure. So that is why Guru is glorified, and that is why Prithu Maharaj is glorified, and Prithu Maharaj is going to do exactly the same thing by making everyone do their fundamental duty of performing their constitutional activities, which is to glorify the Lord. And in this Kali Yuga, it is done by chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before I conclude, I'd like to summarize our conversation today on this particular shloka, where Srila Prabhupada is talking about the importance of sacrifice and how sacrifice is helping us to even rising our existence to the level of a human being. If at all you want to even survive, better perform, learn to perform sacrifice. And the context of how Prithu Maharaj is, by establishing dharma and performing the right amount of sacrifice and facilitating people to sacrifice, is bringing in peace and harmony, not only to the planet that he is in, he's also helping demigods and all the universe where living entities are there. We had 5 sets of reflections. The first reflection was about different types of sacrifice. Sacrifice in the mode of ignorance is about namesake, just lip service but actually not mean it, or just giving up things that we don't like or don't want. It is never considered as sacrifice. That is always considered as something that we are trying to get rid of, but just trying to, you know, show off that I did it for sacrifice. That is rejected. Second, mode of passion, which is giving up things or doing sacrifice so that we get some benefits, we get some results, we are appreciated. So such a sacrifice, even if you mean sacrificing our comfort for money, sacrificing our comfort as well as money for position, all of them are meant for some result-driven, and that sacrifice is also rejected. The third is about sacrifice in the mode of goodness, where we sacrifice things as a matter of duty. We sacrifice what we like most just to, you know, satisfy the Lord so that we can, you know, get something in return from the Lord for our needs. So this is considered sacrifice in the mode of goodness, which is not wrong, but this is also not considered the ultimate stage. And the fourth stage, or the fourth part of the sacrifices, for we sacrifice our things to please Guru and Krishna, is considered as sacrifice in the mode of super goodness, the stage of bhakti. And the stage five is we sacrifice our life as a loving offering dedicated for Guru and Krishna, which is considered as a stage of pure love or Shuddha Bhakti. So these five stages of sacrifice, at least as students of Srimad Bhagavatam, we should come and get situated in a stage of mode of goodness, and we should never be in a stage of mode of passion or ignorance. The second reflection is, what is stopping us in performing the sacrifice is our selfish, self-centered mentality that makes us narrow-minded and keeps us away from the Supreme Lord. Narottam Das Thakura says, so long as we have selfishness, we can't see Krishna in our life. So hence, the second reflection we spoke about, selfishness, self-centeredness, and how this selfishness keeps Krishna away from our lives, and how it does not let us to perform any sacrifice, because we think about I, me, mine. The third reflection is about how to recognize that we are affected by this virus called selfishness. So we had three, you know, tests. Test number one, if our thoughts, if our actions, if our planning, they are always around what benefit I'm going to get out of the action over what can I do for Krishna, then we are affected by this. If our views are biased and we don't lead a life of principle, rather we lead a life of luxury and convenience, we are affected by this disease. If our personality is of blaming and fault finding rather than taking responsibility and appreciating, we have this disease of selfishness within ourselves. The fourth reflection is about, then what is the real sacrifice all about, and how do we kill this selfish propensity? That's why Bhagavad Gita 5th chapter text number 29 was referred, which is Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhrudam Sarvabhutanam Yatvamam Shanti Mrachati. Well, Krishna says, if anybody performs sacrifice, if anybody performs austerity, if anybody performs penance, if anybody performs any action as a matter of pleasing me, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, if he does an activity to please me, then in his life all auspiciousness, all goodness and all peace will manifest, and hence our sacrifice should be directed towards pleasing the Supreme Lord. That way, when we do that, our selfishness gets naturally crushed. And last but not least, we discussed about which types of sacrifice are supposed to be given up and what we are not supposed to sacrifice, not we are supposed to give up. So we said that how we need to give up our doggish mentality, we need to give up our self-centered propensity, and we should not give up the goals and commitments and vows that we have taken from our spiritual master, and we should not give up the missionary spirit that we have somehow or other, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, got blessed with. So these two things that are supposed to be, you know, protected, preserved, and not to be given up. And finally, we spoke about a living example of one of our very, superlative devotees amongst us, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Radhanath Maharaj's personal episode in his life, of how by sacrificing, surrendering, serving Srila Prabhupada, everything that is spoken about is manifesting in reality. So Srimad Bhagavatam is truth, Srimad Bhagavatam is satya, and hence let us live Srimad Bhagavatam in totality. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments you can discuss?
Hare Krishna, Sanji. It's a beautiful class covering all aspects of sacrifice. Very, very grateful to you for doing such a beautiful class, full of insights. Every minute was totally worth it. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you, Prabhu, for sharing wonderful things on sacrifice and how to examine ourselves and also how to practice it in the Krishna consciousness. I had one comment. I was remembering something from first canto, second chapter, and then one question also, Prabhu. The comment is, yeah. I'm happy when I saw this verse because I was worried for quite some time about the enjoying propensity is very hard to give up, which in this context we are calling selfishness also. So the first canto, second chapter, 17th verse, there is a sequence of verses where progression of bhakti is described. I like that verse where it is described that by developing the eagerness to hear the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna in the heart cleans our heart of the enjoyment propensities. That's what I was remembering, Prabhu. That gives me solace to see that process of bhakti in itself also helps. I'm not undermining the fact that we also need to put some endeavor, but this gives me more confidence to move forward, that someday enjoyment propensity will go away like that. Yeah, that's a comment, Prabhu. And then I had a question.
I just want to add a point to that is that just that endeavor to make sure that I regularly hear Krishna Katha is all the endeavor that we need to do. Rest Krishna Katha will do it. So Srimata Prakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Pridayantasto Hyabhadrani Yudhinavati Surukata. That's the verse that you are referring to. And Prabhupada writes that if somebody just makes an endeavor to, hear Krishna Katha regularly from a bona fide source. So that's the only thing that we need to do. The endeavor could be very, very simple, but it's very critical in our journey of Krishna consciousness. That much endeavor if you do, then selfishness and all the propensities that we spoke about can be washed away. Thank you for, pointing to that verse.
Sure. Yeah, thank you, Prabhu. And the question was about when we're talking about what is the real sacrifice and how to do it. And then one of the points you were mentioning is about by trying to do to please Krishna, then the selfishness is destroyed. But in my case, what I see is that is the main obstacle. I'm doing it for some benefit in return, or understanding that it will benefit me, even in spiritual wise, it will purify me, I'll be situated in eternal spiritual life, which is blissful, like that. So, I don't know what else you would suggest other than consciously trying to do things, whatever we can to attempt to please Krishna with that consciousness. Anything else you can suggest, Prabhu?
Yeah, so I will just give an example. When I was, or when a girl is in her teenage, or when she is not yet married, she is so much interested in decorating herself to look beautiful, to look presentable. It's not only a girl or a boy. So whomever that may be the case, they are interested when they are young to look beautiful. the moment they have their partners or their beloveds, their fiancé, they get married, they still have a desire to dress up or, you know, look beautiful. Previously, they were interested in, you know, looking beautiful for themselves. Now, they are starting to think that apart from me and others, I want to, you know, please my partner. I should be looking beautiful in his eyes, in his vision or her vision. But the moment these couple, they get a child, then what happens is that the entire attention is moving from beauty to love. So the same person who was decorating, dressing up, is now giving so much of attention in giving time to the child, being with the child. So in terms of dressing up or attending the child, the preference has always gone to attending the child. So Krishna consciousness from a Kanishta Adhikari, Krishna consciousness from a Sadhaka Bhakta, to Krishna consciousness to a performance of coming to the stage of Anartha Nivritti, these are all different stages at different point in time. We may have some propensity to, you know, take care of ourselves. But the moment we realize, the moment we agree, the moment we acknowledge and accept Krishna and the mission as our child, then we will naturally be able to show our affinity towards that person. That's number one. And number two, that this process is so sublime that all that this process is asking you to do is not to step out of the process. An example is being given, or I always refer this, that I have decided to travel from Mumbai to Mayapur in a train. My destination is Mayapur. I am having a confirmed ticket. I am having very good friends accompanying me, devotees. I'm having a very comfortable seat, have my food packed. So for the next 36 hours or whatever number of hours in the train, all I need to do is that stay put there. Suppose on the way, when you are crossing a particular station, somebody from the, you know, from the platform, they yell at you, they shout at you, they abuse you, they scream at you. If we get agitated and step out of the train and get lost in addressing to their, you know, agitation, we may miss the train. Or even if there are no agitations, if I get carried away, oh, there are some fruits, vegetables and so many things that are attractive for me, let me step out. Let me enjoy some, you know, things outside there. And probably when we are getting lost on that, we may miss an opportunity to come back to the train. The train will leave. So the point that we are trying to say is there are really so many urges. Those urges are only staying, going to stay there for a few moments. And if we could tolerate those urges and stay put, knowing that I am in the right train, I am in the right direction, I am in the right company, I am having everything sorted out, just that I need to make sure not to step out, then things will, you know, happen for us. The process is very powerful. Just that we should not allow ourselves to be carried away by so-called urges and distractions, which will be detrimental to our devotional life. So, yes, the answer is simple, but answer is simple in terms of understanding, but to put it in practice, it may take one lifetime also. So that is why we are, you know, striving to hear and regularly reiterate these philosophies, so that in this very life, we are able to see the results. Making sense?
Yes, Prabhu. Making sense, Prabhu. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Yeah, I really like that. Actually, what you said, as is, introspect and experience ourselves, the process, the greatness of the process and how it is helping us over time, that itself gives the confidence and interest to stay in the process, continue also. Yeah, makes sense, Prabhu. Yeah. One, can I ask a follow-up, Prabhu?
Sure, Prabhu.
Yeah, one thing is, I keep thinking about this, considering my own limitations for quite some time. the whole devotional process is with the intention to please Krishna, serving Krishna to please him, like that, right? The underlying thing, theme. Even to understand that, it took several years for me personally. But like you said also, yeah, understanding theoretically is easy. And then I'm trying to see what are the ways to realize that and apply it. So in that connection, I noticed one observation, so I want to share with you so you can share anything more that will help me. One observation is like, when I introspect a little bit, how certain things happen in my life that help me to make one step closer to Krishna, like that. And also when I introspect that certain things, I did not expect them to happen in, at all. But then suddenly Krishna helped me so that way I make another step towards Krishna like that, whether it's through devotees, whether through some understanding of scripture at the right moment or some understanding from a devotee at the right moment, unexpectedly. So that gives some gratitude towards Krishna. That is one way I can move towards intention to please Krishna, like that I'm seeing for myself. I don't know if you can share anything else that could help me, similar things like that or something different that could help me to...
In the last Chaitanya Charitamrita class, I was referring about ways and places where we get to see Krishna. What you said, in certain situations that you have explained, seeing Krishna is nice, obvious, and easy. But acharyas have shown to see Krishna in challenges, see Krishna in pain, see Krishna in failures, see Krishna in situations that are completely disappointing. So that is further level of maturity. The understanding here is, if I have done my prayers correct, if my intentions are correct, if my introspection is correct, and still, if Krishna is rewarding me something, which means that is Krishna. It is like, I am sitting in a classroom, the teacher can have two sets of response. One is teacher pointing toward good guy and appreciate him for his responsiveness. And the teacher can point out to a guy who is not attentive and express her concern. Both of these children are fortunate because they got attention of the teacher. There may be some kids in the classroom who may not get an attention of the teacher. In India, we have a classroom of 60 kids per teacher. So not every kid are in the attention of the teacher, but somehow, if a kid is in the attention of the teacher, it is considered as a blessing. In this case, if even Krishna is giving me a challenge, it means he is responding. He is trying to help me. He is trying to bring me out of it. That is maturity. What is Kanishtha? The Kanishtha always thinks that if I surrender to Krishna, Krishna will always reward me. But a mature devotee is the one, if I surrender to Krishna, Krishna will respond to me. And that response could be reward, response could be punishment, response could be challenge, but whatever may be the case, it is for my transformation. Srila Prabhupada writes in teachings of Lord Kapila, said, my business had been going on very smooth, no problem. One fine day, I saw my business collapsing. I was wondering, what is going wrong? But a couple of months later, I am already doing the missionary activities of my spiritual master. So, my business collapsing was a blessing. At that time, it may apparently might think that, why did Krishna respond this way? But Krishna's responses need to be, appreciated, whether it is in form of a challenge or in form of a reward. That's maturity. So as we mature in Krishna consciousness, we no more go to Krishna for sanctioning what we think is correct. We go to Krishna to ask him, please sanction what is needed for me to come closer. If by withdrawing some of my benefits, if I will come closer, so be it. If by you providing, I will come closer, so be it. So that's the spirit that we will mature ourselves into. Any sense, Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you. We are whatever situation, whether it's apparently looking beneficial or apparently looking challenging at the current moment, but if it's bringing us closer to Krishna, that is the mercy of Krishna. Like that, I understood, Prabhu.
Yes. So a devotee will never go and tell Krishna, my dear Krishna, why this pain to me? He will not ask that. If you have this pain to me, please allow me to understand this pain nicely so that I will develop love rather than hatred. That's the way he will respond. Rather than, why did you give this pain to me? He will not ask. Because if Krishna has accepted our prayers and still giving pain to us, apparent pain to us, which means he understood or he is telling us that's the way we will surrender to him.
Perfect, Prabhu. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Yeah.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments?
Thank you, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class, a nice question answer session, and very nice summary, Prabhu. I always like your summary because it's really helping me if I miss any points. Really nicely summarized at the end. It's really very nice, Prabhu. Thank you so much once again for such a beautiful class.
Okay, all good, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for engaging me in the service. Looking forward to serve you all more.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, yes.
Very wonderfully presenting, and you used the references of our Guru Vargas. That was very wonderful. On the point of selfishness, I want to share one perspective. Is it okay?
Oh, sure. Please, Maharaj.
Actually, it's like greed. And in our Krishna consciousness, greed is very much important, because ultimately it is the greed which will take us all the way. That will, because Krishna loves the desperation in a devotee for him. So one perspective is that, are we greedy enough for Krishna? It's, greed is according to how much we need it, how much we appraise the thing which we want. So, one way we can say that, are we selfish enough? Rather than, one perspective which you use so wonderfully, the three kinds of mode of ignorance, passion and goodness, and transcendental sacrifice. And sometimes this word sacrifice and relinquishing, or the tyaga, sacrifice in its literal sense is any endeavor through the mind, through the words, or through the action, which is meant for the pleasure of Krishna. If it is not, then it could be called like tyaga, or what we do, what we call relinquishing. But both words are very overlapping sometimes. The word sacrifice is mainly meant for the Lord of sacrifice, as we understand from Bhagavad Gita. The point I'm trying to say that as we join this path of Krishna consciousness, our shallowness takes over. Little bit we practice, and we are saturated. So what happens, although we appraise the Krishna consciousness is very precious, most precious, but how precious, that we have to consider. Just to clarify what I'm trying to share, suppose a person wants to become very rich. This is a practical example. I hope I can express what I'm trying to say. Someone wants to become very rich because when he sees rich people, he sees, how much fun they are having and everything they have desire, material example. And so he wants to become, someone wants to become very rich. How rich you want to become? I want to become very rich. Okay, but how rich? Suppose he puts the goal that I want to become a billionaire. You know, this is something. And now, the endeavor to become a billionaire, he does so much austerity. Whatever is needed, he works very hard, and Krishna blesses him. He becomes very rich. He earns 500 million. That much rich. And now, as a result of so much money, all the glamour, everything comes to him. Everywhere he moves, he is noticed, and all the things which you discuss. Now he's in the spotlight. And whatever desire he had to fulfill by becoming very rich, practically he's able to do everything. What I mean to say, whatever a billionaire is able to accomplish materially, a person with 500 million is also able to accomplish, isn't it? So now, everything he achieved, whatever he imagined to attain, by becoming very rich. And then he thinks, he has made it. Now his focus, his focus, his vigor, his greed to become very rich, it has subsided. Now, has he become a millionaire? A billionaire? He's still far away from being a billionaire, but he has settled with the half billion, and that is where the saturation, his greed has stopped, and he couldn't accomplish his original goal. So in Krishna consciousness also, although we start off with attaining love of Krishna, but the sense of accomplishment takes over us, and that arrogance comes in due to the sense of accomplishment. It's compared to like half billion. That's a lot of money. So a lot of accomplishments on the path of pure devotion service, which are offered to us, we are recognized, we are worshipped, we are given everything. But the half billion is still. So that half billion is the love of full-fledged love of Godhead. That alone will keep us not affected by all the other accomplishments and the greed which we have to sustain to not become overwhelmed or affected or distracted by comparative better off.
Hare Krishna.
Yes. So,
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, brother.
Yeah, sorry, Maharaj, I just missed the last couple of minutes. The call got lost. But I, if I understand correctly, then completely appreciate the perspective of being selfish and greedy to get Krishna's mercy is definitely definitely a welcoming and important. I think Acharyas are saying that as an eagerness, the more eager. Srila Prabhupada gives the story of a thief attending Srimad Bhagavatam class with the intention of stealing wealth. But just that his eagerness and utmost eagerness took him to Krishna and eventually made it to Krishna. So I fully appreciate the reason I was trying to drive the perspective that I gave about sacrifice was about the need for sadhakas, because most of us as practicing devotees, somewhere or other in the process, we may get complacent. I mean, the kind of urgency, the kind of seriousness, the kind of intensity that we have. Then I think I've got an accomplishment, I've got an entitlement to kind of be lax. So I was just trying to reiterate because I was reflecting this upon me. In the last 30 years of Krishna consciousness, did I do the justice that I was supposed to have done? Have I made the necessary progress that I should have made? So the answer is no. So where they go wrong, it is not in catching the train of Krishna consciousness. I caught the train of Krishna consciousness, but somewhere or other in the process, I keep stepping out of the train on and off, and in the process, missing a lot of opportunities.
Beautiful.
Greedy and as eager as possible to get Krishna's mercy. Thank you for bringing the perspective, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Okay.
Hey Krishna.
Any other questions or comments?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Is there any questions or comments? There are no more questions or comments. We offer obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Pancha Kalpataro Bhyakti Vipasindu Bhyakti Vaja Pratidana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrindaki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai His Grace Ramagiri Dara Prabhuji Ki Jai.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.